The gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that whoever humbles himself will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And it reminds us of the absolute importance of humility. Obviously, we know that charity is the greatest of all of the virtues, but we cannot have charity without humility. The two of them are absolutely dependent on one another. And so if we want to be able to grow in any of the virtues, we ultimately have to pray for humility, because all virtues are contained under charity. So while it's true we could grow in humility, or we could grow in patience, or we could grow in meekness, or we could grow in some of the other virtues, if we really want to develop them and perfect them, we have to have charity. And in order to have charity, we must have humility. So it's a necessity to pray for and work toward that humility. We don't like that too well, which tells us that what we really do is spend an awful lot of time glorifying ourselves. And if we're going to exalt ourselves, then we're going to be humbled. Now that works two ways. If you want to grow in virtue, but in your humanness you're just very weak like the rest of us, but you truly want to grow, God's going to provide ways of humiliation for you. He will help you to grow in humility. And the reason for that is because you can't do it yourself. Sure, there are a few little things you can do to be able to develop a little bit of humility. The problem with it is we're so blasted proud that if we actually grew in humility a little bit, we'd be so proud of our humility that it would kind of work against us and go the wrong direction. So God provides ways that we can't be proud of at all. But we have to try to accept it. We have to try to cooperate with it. If we don't, then we come to the second part. And that is, on the day of judgment, if we're going to try and glorify ourselves, we're going to be humiliated, and that for eternity. And so it is all in our favor try to work on the humility now. Again, it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easily. But we can look at somebody like St. Paul, who tells us point blank that he was an arrogant man. And now he's looking at these Ephesians to whom he's writing the letter that we heard in the first reading, and he's talking about his own suffering, and he says, which is your glory. The fact that he is able to accept his share in the suffering of Christ, which he tells St. Timothy that he has to share in, but he's offering it for the good of the people. He's seeing the good that comes out of it because he understood very well that our salvation only comes through the suffering of Christ. And if our salvation comes through the suffering of Christ, and we as members of Christ are called and privileged to be able to participate in the work of salvation, then St. Paul understood. If he's going to bring these people to conversion, if he's going to bring them to salvation, ultimately only the Lord can do that, but if we're going to participate in it, that means we're going to participate in his suffering. And so we see that St. Paul, rather than fighting it, he accepted it and he offered it for the people. And he recognized that for the people, this was their glory. But then at the end of the reading, he tells us that God is to be glorified in all things. And that's the way we have to be able to see it. Now, using that same thinking of St. Paul, if his suffering is the glory of the people of Ephesus, and we, of course, are saved only by the suffering of our Lord, then his suffering is our glory. How often do we think about it that way? His suffering is our glory. Most of us want to glory in all kinds of stupid things. We want to glory in how much money we have, or how much material stuff we have, or how cool our car is, or how beautiful our house is, or how much junk we've accumulated, or you know, whatever it is. I got better clothes than you do. I got more hair than you do. What? We get into the most stupid, ridiculous, asinine things that we brag about, most of which we have absolutely no control over anyway. And what good is it? It's all going to be left behind. The piles of junk, the cool car, the fancy house, you're not going to take them with you. And we're surely not going to brag about them before the Lord. Hey, I got a better house than you. Really? He's offering you heaven. You got a better house? Got a better ride? Ha! Your car can get you from point A to point B. He can get you from here to heaven. No, you don't have a better ride than he does. You got nothing to brag about. Zero. So St. Paul says, if we're going to boast, boast in the Lord. And he said, may the cross of Christ be my only boast. Once again, you see, he understood it's the suffering of Christ that is his glory. So we don't have anything of our own to boast about. And if we can participate in the suffering of Christ and offer that for someone else, that becomes for their glory. But our suffering ought to help us to be able to grow in humility, because that's what it's all about. Because it's only humility that will allow us to grow in that charity, to be willing to offer everything up and to be able to put our boast in the Lord. So that humility is something we actually need to pray for. And you can be guaranteed. I mean, if you're complaining because God doesn't answer your prayers and he doesn't hear you and he doesn't pay attention, he doesn't care, just pray for humility. And you're going to find out real fast how much he hears your prayer and how much and how quickly he will answer it. You might be complaining all of a sudden that he's actually answering your prayer, because you might prefer that he didn't. But it's ultimately for our own good. And we know that. So the key is not only to pray for the humility, but to try to cooperate when he provides the humiliations. To try to actually recognize that, you know what, this is what I prayed for. He's answering my prayer. It's a gift, it's a grace, and I need to be able to rejoice in it. That doesn't come naturally to us. Therefore, we have to recognize it's a supernatural thing. And so that's the only way we can cooperate, by his grace. So all these things all work together. Get the focus off ourselves and put it on God. Take the glory off of ourselves, give it to the Lord. We have nothing to exalt ourselves with. Again, go back to the point of stupidity. Think of when you're a teenage kid. What did you brag about? Your sins were better than somebody else's sins. Oh boy, shouldn't we brag about our sins? How stupid can we be? So no, we have nothing to brag about. We have nothing to exalt ourselves about. Zero. So let's glory in the Lord. Let's keep our focus on him. Pray for the humility and glorify him when he gives it. Because if we can do that, it's going to provide for us to be able to glorify him more and more and more. Sadly, as we know, it's going to take a lot for us to grow in humility. So don't just pray for it once and try to rejoice in the humiliation. First time we probably wouldn't do it anyway. Keep praying for it. And as the humiliations keep coming and hopefully the humility begins to grow a little bit, then we can actually start rejoicing in it. And we'll quit complaining that he doesn't hear our prayers, because we will know very quickly that he does. And we will be able to be conformed to Christ, who is humility itself. And because he is absolutely humble, he is absolutely charitable. So he wants you to be as humble as you are capable of being, so that you can be as charitable as you are capable of being. And when you have perfect charity, you have all the virtues. So he's going to work on all of them. But most importantly, that point of humility, so that if we can humble ourselves, that when we stand before him, he alone will be able to exalt us.